Today's episode is brought to you by our favorite online art gallery, Liza Pruitt. Liza has made her passion into a career by connecting people with the art that speaks their language. Liza and her team have a goal to make sourcing and buying incredible original art accessible to everyone. You can hear more with the Instagram Live that we did with How'd She Do That podcast on Instagram. I know listeners will enjoy getting to know Liza and her team as our sponsor. You have her to thank for our incredible upcoming conversations. Be sure to check out Liza's impressive lineup at lizapruitt.com and at liza.pruitt on Instagram. Be sure to check her out. Hi, everyone. I am Emily Landers, and this is How'd She Do That? A podcast answering that question each episode. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to this special Friday bonus series. We are wrapping up our Summer Night series sponsored by Liza Pruitt. It has been so much fun to connect with Liza and her team, as well as many of her artists. You guys will have just heard she is an online art gallery, and the artists that we've been able to highlight for the last 3 weeks, and this week, the fourth week with Brooke Lancaster, it's just been so fun for Liza to be able to introduce me to the women that she works so closely with and to be able to highlight them through her sponsorship. It has been so much fun. And to reminisce on all things summer, it's just been a blast. It's been so much fun, and to be able to provide 2 episodes a week, again, cannot thank Liza and her team enough for their support of HSDT. Well, for those of you who are feeling a little blue, thinking that summer is wrapping up, I have to say my summer is not quite over yet. Tomorrow morning, I head to France for our big summer trip. So I'm very hopeful that all goes well with flights and whatnot. And we will be on the French Riviera here shortly. So that's just a personal side note that I couldn't help but share. It's been so much fun preparing for that trip. If you guys are over on Patreon, patreon.com/howdshedothat, I did a travel packing vlog. You guys can see what HSDT outfits and products I'm taking, and we will also be doing a follow-up vlog there of our time in France. So Patreon continues to be an incredible resource of fun, excitement, and creativity for me. I hope you guys are enjoying it. It's really where I can connect with women like yourself. At this point, our DMs, emails, things like that are a little overwhelmed, and I've found that Patreon continues to be a great place to be able to connect directly with you all. So again, thank you guys so much for the support, the encouragement, and it's just been so fun to connect with so many of you. So wishing you guys a very happy summer, and pulling the curtain closed on our Summer Night series with Liza Pruitt, here's Brooke Lancaster on How'd She Do That? Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of How'd She Do That? Welcome. Welcome to our summer series sponsored by Liza Pruitt. I have so enjoyed speaking with her many artists, and I am excited to dive into some of, Brooke, your favorite memories today and how they inspire the art you create now. Brooke, welcome to How'd She Do That?
Thank you so much for having me. I cannot tell you how excited I am to be speaking with you today.
Well, I'm so grateful that you would share some of your time to unpack the behind the scenes with you today. I'm thrilled. I can't wait. But before we get going, how about this? Introduce yourself. Maybe introduce yourself to my listeners. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, once again, thank you so much for having me. So I am the owner and artist at Brooke Lancaster Fine Art. I am based in Savannah, Georgia, where I live with my husband of almost 10 years and my 2 children. Their names are Stone and Scotland. I am currently working mostly in oils, and that kind of came about with some experimenting and learning that my niche did not exactly fit into the acrylics that I was hoping it would. I actually went to school for cosmetology. I always had a passion for color theory. I was always very interested. And even though I grew up in Savannah, in like a huge art-based town and city, SCAD is here, the Savannah College of Art and Design. Even though I grew up around that, it's not typical for someone in this area to grow up here and make a career out of artwork. So I learned to express my love for art and color through cosmetology. As I progressed and still dabbled in art here and there, and then we had the pandemic hit and my cosmetology was restricted, I decided to revisit my love for painting. It started off with just a few little commissions here and there from friends and family, and turned into something that I could not go a day without doing. So that is how we have come to strive to create a career out of fine art. It was God's plan. Like, it just fell into place. And I am just so thankful for the opportunity that has presented itself.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's so fun right off the bat to get to know you a little bit better and put together the pieces. Tell me, am I hearing this right? You turned around and began to do art full-time in 2020. Is that correct?
I did. That is correct. So in high school, I graduated high school in 2010, and I had taken art classes. Actually, as much as I love running now, I did everything I could to get out of gym class. I could not stand it. I wanted no part of it. So I did take as many art classes as I absolutely could. I did discover then that painting was more my thing, pottery and sculpting not so much. So after high school, it slowed down and I pursued cosmetology. And I did hair and makeup for New York Fashion Week quite a few times. In 2020, when that was restricted, I really decided to pedal to the metal, and everything that I do, I do a full force. My family always laughs at me because they say, you can't just have a hobby and do something for fun. You just like go for it. So that's when it really started, was 2020.
Well, it's so impressive. And I always love to just remind myself and remind listeners of that. I think often you would think, no, you've been doing this for years. So to hear that the turnaround has been so quick, it's encouraging to me as well. Now, you just tied in something, and I would love to know, this is just a random thought on my end, tying in your love of color theory, your love of cosmetology, and then now stepping into artistry. Are you someone who, throughout cosmetology and throughout makeup and colors and whatnot, are you someone who could tell me what colors look best on me?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. So we, another family joke.
I'm jealous of that gift.
Another family joke that we always go back to was in cosmetology school, when you're trying to discover what you're really good at, you're trying to be good at everything. And I actually convinced my dad to let me give him a haircut. And I forgot to put the guard on the clippers and went right up the back of his head with him. And he, to this day, only has a gray patch in the back. Oh, and it was that day that we discovered that hair cutting was not my thing, that color was absolutely my thing. So yes, I would have clients sit down and we would be able to discuss skin tones and makeup colors. And one thing that's really interesting is the name for colors with fine art is so much different from the cosmetology world. Everything on that color chart is number based. And with each country comes a different color scale. And I did always find it very easy to translate color charts and scales and hues and dimensions so that I knew what we could mix together to get a more vibrant color.
It's so cool. It's something that I've never put together until this moment, how seamless your story kind of goes from the love of color. And again, I mean, there's going to be a theme of color because we're talking to you, Brooke, and your pieces are vibrant and fun. And to hear the element of cosmetology, I'm so interested and I'm very jealous of that gift. And whenever we meet in person, I'm going to say, Brooke, please help me. What's going on here?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. And it's so fun. And like I said, your pieces, they're so bright, vibrant, colorful, and fun.
Thank you.
The theme of summer. I mean, yes. And within the theme of summer, you know, many times we're looking for that color, and you bring such a vibrant source of that to our homes with all of your pieces. But how about this? We've been doing this on these episodes, which is so fun within the theme of summer. How about a quick rapid fire Q&A for you?
Oh, yes, let's do it.
Awesome. All right. So tell us this. What would be your favorite beach read?
Oh, goodness. I always go to A Time Traveler's Wife, even though it has nothing to do with the beach. I always find myself packing that in my beach bag.
Love it. So good. And would we find you in the sun or the shade?
Oh, sun, 100%. It's good for you. It's good for your soul.
Yes, I could have guessed that one. How about this? Where is your favorite vacation spot?
Oh, goodness. So before children, we loved to go to Hilton Head Beach. We've taken a few trips to Jamaica. After children, we still find ourselves at the beach, but we also find ourselves at theme parks and resorts.
And then what would you say is maybe a go-to meal or salad during the summer?
Oh, goodness. So we actually end up doing, I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's called Low Country Boil. I think it is a Southern thing. I'm almost sure it is. And it consists of crab legs, boiled shrimp, corn on the cob, ooh, and potatoes. Yes. And you just boil it all together. And typically you have tons of people over because it's a huge pot, and you end up laying it out on a beautifully displayed table, and everybody just kind of picks from the Low Country Boil.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm actually writing that down. That sounds delicious, and I need to make it before summer's
over. We do it often. Yes.
That's so fun. Okay. Did you say corn was in there as well?
Yes, it's corn on the cob and potatoes. We typically use red potatoes because they cook a little bit softer. And then crab legs and boiled shrimp and sausage. Oh, okay. There's sausage in it as well. My husband is the cook around here. So.
I love it. I literally just wrote that down. Oh my goodness. Now, while you are enjoying that meal, would that be at the beach or do you prefer the pool?
The beach.
Love it.
100%.
It's been so fun within the theme of our summer series to kind of share that quick Q&A, but I would love to get back to your story because there's quite a few elements in it that's just so impressive. Could you tell us a little bit about the decision to move forward with your art in 2020? I mean, what did that kind of path and journey look like for you?
So yes, I was actually a little nervous. There is so much more that goes into a career with artwork than you initially think. Just right off the bat, I was in the mindset of landscapes and abstract. Knew I needed a website, but where to go from there and how do you get into these galleries? And I hear it all the time. You look at someone's artwork and you're like, oh, I can do that, but you cannot do that. Like there is so much that goes into it that you just don't even realize. So I started out with abstracts and landscapes. It was therapeutic, but that was about it. It was not, it didn't turn into anything satisfying to look at. Honestly, it just was not bringing the attention that I knew I would need, along with the satisfaction that I wanted to feel on the inside of myself from creating a piece of art. And wow. About a little over a year ago, so I did that for a good year, the abstracts and the landscapes. And then a little over a year ago, I had someone reach out to me about a possible clothesline idea. They loved the clotheslines. I think I had like sketched one out from inspiration from one of my children's bathing suits. And I wasn't particularly fond of the sketch, but I had posted it to social media and I had someone that was interested in a painting. And so I created this piece, and it actually had on, it had like sewn on tassels that were like textiles, like actual tassels that I sewed onto the towel, onto the canvas. And that is where the clotheslines started. After I completed that clothesline, I just felt so accomplished. I loved the shadowing, the shading. I never intended to get into whimsy realism, as I call it. And after that, it just really took off. And it's the one subject that I never tire of painting. Like I could just paint them day in and day out.
Whimsy realism. It's such a fun way of saying it.
That's what I like to
call it. Yes. And to your point too, and this is really interesting for those of us who are listening who are potentially an artist or in any entity, that you really honed in on your very favorite thing. What did it feel like to step back and to look at that piece? And also, how do you know when a piece is done? How do you decide that?
So I can just feel it almost, or I will, since I do paint in oils, I will leave them for a week to 2 weeks while they're drying in the studio. So I'm walking by them constantly. Oh, wow. And while I'm working on other things, I'll glance over. And if I see something here and there, I'll adjust. But for the most part, I can kind of feel when it's finished, like when it just is complete. There's nothing else that I feel could add to this piece to bring it to life any more than I have. And finding my niche, oh my goodness, I cannot tell you how many nights I prayed for it, or I would ask my husband, what do you think I should paint? What do you think I'm good at? And he's like, Brooke, I have no idea. The abstracts are not, he's really not an abstract guy, even though I love abstracts. When I found the clotheslines and the shadowing in particular on the bold colored backgrounds, oh my goodness, it just felt like a weight had been lifted off of my chest. Because for the longest time, you, especially with social media being the way it is now, you watch these other artists, and everybody posts the best of the best on social media. So you see their accomplishments and you see how good their work is. You don't see the messiness that is the studio or getting to where they are. And you want that so bad. You want to find your thing. So it was just, oh my goodness, complete, like, I could feel my lungs with air. I felt so weightless when I did discover that I loved painting the clotheslines as much as I did.
I mean, if I looked at a blank canvas, it would be like, LOL, I'm not an artist. I think my art and creativity, maybe not my creativity, but at least my artwork ended like in third grade. I was a great artist in third grade, and then my skills stayed there. But I always love to think, we've had many, many artists, and of course, within this summer series, this month, we've had many artists that I've spoken to. But I always love to remind listeners, this to me seems to be the most intimidating element of an artist, but I would love to know your thoughts. My personal thought would be the blank canvas, just looking at a canvas and putting any type of mark on it. I think I would, I don't think I could ever be an artist because I don't think I could get past that point. What is the most challenging part for you? Is it the brainstorming? Is it the dreaming? Is it the finding inspiration? Or is it the end details that you need to make? What do you find is the time that you maybe get a little frustrated of, oh gosh, okay, I've got to get over this hurdle?
Oh goodness. So so funny you say this, because it actually just happened to me with a collection that I'm working on currently. The clotheslines that I'm doing, and even with the lawn chairs and the pool chairs, and
yes,
it is proportion. This canvas, whether it, you know, so I will give you the actual story of what happened. It was a piece that had a swimsuit and two beach towels, and they were all hanging together. It had great shadows. I decided that I was going to blow it up and make it really, really big. Wow. It looked like a swimsuit that could have fit Goliath. And I just stepped back and I was thinking, like, what do I not love about this? This is not turning out. I do not like anything about this. And it ended up being, I just honed in on the fact that it was absolutely because it was so much larger than it was supposed to be. And I was not loving it. So I tried to place it on a 30 by 40 canvas. It probably should have gone on like a 24 by 36. There was so much space on the sides. It was very unattractive. So I just had to toss it. It was killing my vibe with the other pieces hanging in the studio. It was like the third wheel in a relationship. It just was not working out. I had to toss it.
Yes, it just had to go. Well, I love that you would share that because to your point earlier of, you know, seeing artists on social media or on Instagram, or even I'm sure even if you're looking at an online gallery and seeing the final product, I love to hear that you're like, okay, get out. I'm done. I can't have this around, because you have to kind of focus and hone in. And what a great lesson to be able to see that. And it's just so tangible. There's so many parts of artistry, artwork, painting that feels so tangible compared to other, you know, careers and whatnot. I love hearing about it. Well, tell me this, because you are constantly creating new artwork. I mean, and having had many artists on to discuss what their days look like, what their schedules look like, it's quite impressive. What does the timeline look like for your art? And maybe how many paintings are you working on a week, a day? What does that look like?
So currently in the studio, and this is another thing with switching from acrylics to oils, when I was working with acrylics, things dry very fast. It's a very quick turnaround. You know, I could start a painting and have it done in a week, but with oil paint, it does take quite some time to dry. Currently in this studio, I have somewhere between 25 and 30 pieces going.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, 10 of those being commissions. So yes, it's always very full in the studio. And yes. I do try to put in as much time as I can during the day. The summertime is a little more difficult. As much as I want to paint and my fingertips like itch to paint during the day, summertime rolls around and I become the snack maker and the chauffeur and the entertainer. So it's a little difficult to work in the studio as much as I would like to during the summer. Now, when school's in session, we run like a well-oiled machine around here.
Oh, it's so fun.
I am in the studio from the time they go to school until the time I have to pick them up. So I'm turning things around a little bit faster. And a painting right now is taking anywhere from probably 2 to 3 weeks on the short end to a few larger paintings that I have that are going on 2 months.
Okay. See, so
it's it all just depends.
And where is your, I'm saying workshop. That's not the word I'm looking for. What are you calling it?
So just my studio. It feels like a workshop though.
It feels like Santa's
workshop right now.
Where is that though? Is that in your home?
It is in our home. I was blessed enough to be able to, we had plenty of extra space in our home to take a large full-sized room with lots of storage space and closet space, and we converted it into an art studio. We took out the carpet. It has these concrete floors, and they were a very beautiful like copper color, but they now have paint splatters and little toe prints and hand prints all over the place. And we put up the boards going down the walls so that I could hang everything accordingly and try to stay organized. So yes, it is in my home right now. It's really nice to have it in home. I would love to, in the near future, open a studio publicly that people could come in and out and discuss commission work and things like that. But for now, it is absolutely what I needed to get started.
Cool to think about you heading into the studio to create these beautiful pieces. And you mentioned that, gosh, yeah, the schedule of summer really kind of allows for you to take a little bit, maybe not a break, but a little bit of a step back from all things and then going into things full swing in the fall. But I would love to know, does your painting style change at all during the summer with the longer days and the different light and whatnot?
I believe so. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that since we do live on the coast, we love to go out in our boat. We are out in the boat almost every single Saturday and Sunday. So I'm surrounded by of these really blue and green coastal colors, along with all of the wonderful people watching that you can do. And I see so many fun swimsuits and patterns. And it's just, I feel like my artwork gets a little bit brighter. I hate to say bright. It's always bright. But it tends to get more vibrant in the summertime. And I have noticed that I tend to stay away from the black and white patterns that I am so drawn to. I feel like they're so classic. I actually tend to stay away from those in the summer. And it's very subconscious. So this summer, I have actually tried to incorporate some very classic black and white patterns into my work just to keep things kind of even keel throughout the year.
It's so fun because you just mentioned, and I love that you would mention such a tangible source of inspiration for you, which would be times out on the boat and enjoying summer nights and exploring. Is this on a lake or this is ocean you guys are heading out to?
So this is ocean. We do, we love the lake, but my family prefers the salt water. This is the ocean. We are in the Atlantic.
Okay, well, that's fun. I'll think of you as I'm enjoying the Pacific. It's always fun to think about that. But you mentioned because as you're out on the boat and even as summer, you know, brings such kind of nostalgic memories, is there a way that you actually capture the images that inspire your future artwork? Do you take photos? Do you keep a sketchbook? What is that like for you?
So a little bit of both. I do have a journal and a sketchbook with me at all times. I'm constantly writing down ideas, whether it be for swimsuit patterns or brand new collections or backgrounds, since I've started to incorporate some patterned backgrounds into my work. I have like a running list of ideas, and then sometimes I'll revisit them a few days later and I'm like, scratch yes. that one off. Like that, it was fun while I thought about it, but it's not going to work out. And then, and of course, a sketchbook. If I see a really interesting piece of driftwood, or in recent years, after a storm, had some very large buoys wash ashore. I loved the way that their shadows cast on the sand. So I sketched that out really fast and just for future reference, always taking pictures of my children on the beach. And they have inspired, actually their silhouettes were the first pieces that I did for my Beach Babies collection with the children running on the beach. So I'm always snapping photos.
Again, and I know I've outed myself in this episode already, but someone who's not an artist, it's so fun to hear the creative entities that you are looking for all the time. And it inspires me, you know, given that you are creating artwork and creating beauty that goes into people's homes and offices and all over, you know, the world that people could enjoy your pieces. But all that to say, it's such an encouragement to me to really like stop and look around, even for you to look at a washed up buoy and be like, oh, amazing. Like, I want to be more like that. I want to take the time to look and check out, you know, the beauty and the little things along the way. So you're encouraging me to do that today, Brooke. Thank you.
Oh, well, that is really so cool. Exciting.
It's really cool to think about. So you mentioned too that you guys love heading out on the ocean. And I just, that's so fun to think about, to think of your family. And you mentioned too, you guys have enjoyed many different resorts and before kiddos traveling quite a bit. But tell me this, do you have any summertime destinations you guys are heading to this year? Do you guys like to return to places or do you prefer to explore a new place?
So we are always looking to explore new places, but we do tend to at least once a year return to somewhere new. This year, we have actually not been able to take a new trip. We have spent quite some time at a resort in Hilton Head. We have visited family. We have family that lives in Atlanta. So we have taken some time to visit them. We have done the whole theme park thing, as I mentioned, which is exhausting and it is so hot. We love the beach and there's always a breeze coming off of the water. These theme parks, you're standing in line and you are about to pass out. Like, it's so hot. And even though we're in Georgia, the theme park that we went to was Universal Studios and we were there for a week and it's in Florida It's amazing just how much closer to the equator you feel. Just one state down, it is so warm. So, but actually we do have some trips planned for next year. I'm really good friends with Natasha Stone King, she's the Instagram blogger, Nashville Tosh, and she has a gorgeous beach home in Rosemary Beach, Florida. So we are going to take a trip there, and we are also going to take a trip to Sandestin, Florida for my husband's work convention. I know it's work, but he's the one that has to work. So me and the kids enjoy the beach while he's at meetings. So we do have those two trips planned already, and I'm sure we'll plan another little family vacation.
Well, it's so fun. After all of the travel restrictions and everything, I love hearing everyone's plans, everyone's travel plans. Let's get out, let's enjoy, and here you guys already have some plan for next year. I'm thrilled. It's going to be so fun. Yes, it's so fun. And I know too that you have quite a bit coming up. You always have something kind of up your sleeve. Maybe tell us what's next for you.
Oh, I do. I have quite a few fun things coming up. So actually, this will be a first for me. I am releasing limited edition prints from my latest lounge collection with Liza Pruitt. There will be 5 prints in varying colors and sizes from the collection that will be available very, very soon, like within the next week or so. So hopefully we'll be able to announce that soon. And then I am also working on a possible collection, still the same shadows, bright colors, whimsy realism element with some possible plant inspiration. That will be exciting. That'll be more so, I hope everyone loves them. But my focus was for the collectors that do love my work, but maybe the clothesline or the lounge chairs just didn't inspire them. It didn't bring happiness to their home. And that is what I'm all about. So yeah, we will be working on those two things.
Glad I asked because we have a lot to look forward to. And Brooke, this has been so much fun. I know many listeners have already likely looked you up on Instagram. Perhaps they've found your website, but tell us, where can listeners connect with you?
Oh, I am so glad you asked. So Gallery wise, I am with Liza Pruitt, and you can always connect with me through her. I am also with Shane Gallery in North Carolina, and you can connect there. I do have available work with both of them. If you are looking to reach out personally, I am always available through my website. I actually have a commissions page where it sends me an email direct to my email. I am also on Instagram, and I do try to personally answer all of my DMs and comments as fast as I can, and that is at Brooke Lancaster Art.
Oh my goodness, amazing. Well, I have to say, you are very good at that. So do reach out, do check out Brooke's work, and Brooke, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I have loved speaking with you.
Likewise, and we will talk soon. Thank you all for listening to today's episode of How'd She Do That? Sponsored by Liza Pruitt, we hope you enjoyed our Summer Night series. I am Emily Landers. You can follow me on Instagram at Emily Landers and the podcast at How'd She Do That Podcast. We hope you'll join us next week for a new episode. We will talk to you soon.